JoeBucksFan.com NFL Draft Guru Sean Sullivan is here with another breakdown episode. No, he's not breaking down. He's breaking down edge rushers in this draft. The big names, the small names, everybody, any Bucks fan should be interested in. It's a good one. It's quick. It's fast. It's deep. Sean Sullivan, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Enjoy. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. We are doing the edge class. So I broke it down, defensive tackles, linebackers, edge class, just because, you know, edge is a big topic with the Buccaneers fans right now. I want to make sure that I give you all the in-depth knowledge that you need in case the Bucs go edge in the first round, which, hint, hint, I believe they are doing. First, a word from our sponsor. Visit us at BillCurryFord.com. See all of our amazing specials for the end of April. We have 0% for 72 months left on some vehicles. We have double your tax return up to $5,000. We have mobile and pickup delivery available by appointment. So coming to you live from, again, the largest service drive in the world, 67 cars deep at the new $25 million giant. Please follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and whatever else there is. Twitter's now X, and then now TikTok, whatever, whatever. You guys know what to do. You guys know where to find us. We are the biggest and the baddest. Please enjoy a shopping experience from the world's greatest dealership. Now let's jump into what everybody wants is the best 30 minutes of football. Thank you for all the emails and text messages. This is my favorite time of year. This is where I communicate the best with Joe Bucks fans. And if you're not listening to me on Joe Bucks Fan, which I hope you are, obviously it's one of the most sought after visited websites in the country. I'm also available on Apple, which I just got some information that was the sixth best downloaded podcast for NFL football, which is amazing when you think about it. Some of the stats that I'm getting, I'm very humbled and appreciate all of the attention that I get with the draft. Again, it's a lifetime of passion. You know, I can tell you that since 1976, I have been super engaged in the draft. So again, thank you, Steve and Joe Bucks Fan, for allowing me to do the podcast, and Bill Curry for letting me put it out there. But lots of great reviews coming in. I'm going to answer some questions from fans of Joe Bucks Fan as well as the podcast. I look forward to my draft podcast with the gang here coming up soon. All right, edge, let's go. So my number one player on the edge class also is my number one defensive player in this draft, and that's Leiatu Latu, right? Leiatu Latu, however you want to call it, Jesuit grad, just like me. So obviously, yeah, there's no bias here. This is the best player in the draft defensively out of UCLA, 6'4", 261, ran a 4.64. Again, I'm not a doctor. I don't care about his medicals. I know the last two seasons he's been healthy and he's been dominant. This is the closest thing that you're going to get to a Hutchinson in this draft, a Boza, TJ Watt type player. This guy's an instant impact player. The fact that he might fall to 26, I mean, he would have had to have failed all of his tests to get to 26. Based upon what I'm looking at, he's unbelievable. He had 49 tackles, 13 sacks, 2 interceptions, 2 passes batted, 2 forced fumbles in 2023. He had double-digit sacks the year before with 10.5, 3 forced fumbles in 22. He is absolutely a quarterback hunter. He's a glass eater from the defensive line. Has 3 polished pass rush moves, has 2 more that he uses. He can use hand usage, technique. He can use power. He has it all. He's a total package. He can play the run as well, which is, you know, obviously awesome for a player like Latu. I can tell you right now, whoever gets Latu is going to have an instant impact player. It's going to be awesome, right? Go ahead and put him in there and pencil him in for one of the best rookie years. I mean, as you know, Hutch had almost 10 sacks his rookie year. These guys just don't come out very often. Lee DePamper talks about it all the time. When you can get a guy like this, you know, it's pretty amazing to add him to your team. I mean, we talked about this, with Josh Allen. This is the pass rusher that I wanted instead of Devin White when we drafted an off-the-ball linebacker. I was like, you know, off-the-ball linebackers are dime a dozen, but pass rushers aren't. He just signed the richest contract in NFL history for a pass rusher. Again, this is where Jason Light is one of the best GMs in the league. This is where he's really struggled at developing and drafting defensive line. Now, We're not going to talk about Kancey because he might be, you know, a gem, but some of the other players that we've drafted just haven't developed. You know, Jason Light is an offensive line genius. Todd Bowles is a defensive back genius. Like, as far as I believe that if we draft a corner and a safety, Todd Bowles knows what he's doing. I believe that Jason has positions, including the offensive line, that make him one of the best GMs in the league. This is where I think they struggle because they don't hold the value like the rest of the league does in pass rushers. And I think this goes back to Jason Light's time with Bill Belichick in New England, where Bill Belichick, you know, said it was the defense and he didn't like prima donna pass rushers. And I think that really, really got into Jason Light's head, where he doesn't want to have these guys. He wants to, you know, draft these guys and try to develop them instead of getting like a proven pass rusher, you know, like Lee wanted just recently from the Eagles. So if you think about it, if they were to get Latu, right, that would be one of Jason Light's best. I mean, I think it would be his best defensive player that he's ever drafted. That's how good this guy is. Now, the next guy I'm going to talk about is going to be a shock to some people because I have him over an Alabama player. But Jared Verse out of Florida State, I think, is an instant impact power player. So this fits more into what Todd Bowles' defense is like. He likes these 6'4", heavier guys, you know, 260, 270, that are just, you know, built like a, you know, like a brick house. I mean, this guy is big and strong and powerful, has a bull rush, second to none in this draft, absolutely can play the run, disrupts the run, disrupts the quarterback, gets him off of his mark, because, you know, you're not going to just stand there in one spot with Jared Verse coming. He's scary. This is a scary dude, right? Like, again, I already went through his size, 6'4", 260, ran a 4.8 40, 4.69 on his pro day, had 41 tackles, 9 sacks, 2 passes, batted down. I think that he's just one of those guys that if he doesn't win with technique, he's going to win with power, and I think he can still do that in the NFL. There's a chance, and I mean, just like in Dumb and Dumber, so you're saying there's a chance. There's a chance that Jared Verse makes it. I have run mock drafts, just to give you an idea, I run about 100 mock drafts a day, seeing where the players come with their ADP to find out where they're going to drop in the draft, where Vegas has them. And there is a percentage of the time where Jared Verse makes it to 26. I know that sounds crazy, but there is. There's even a 1% chance that Latu makes it to 26. Jared Verse has more than a 20% chance of getting to 26. And again, this is a guy you plug and play from day one. What a draft Jason comes out of the first round with Jared Verse. Or obviously, I don't think Latu is going to happen, but Jared Verse happens. That's a pretty incredible draft. Anyway, day one starter, solid first round draft pick. My next guy is Dallas Turner. This is the guy that most people have number one as a 3-4 outside linebacker, 6'2", 247, ran a 4.46, lightning fast. I know that everybody talks about his pass rushing, and, you know, let's just go over his stats. 53 tackles, 11 sacks, 15.5 tackles for loss, 2 forced fumbles. He's fast. He's dangerous. He plays with intelligence. Here's my problem with him. He's 247, and he's 6'2", is the number one pass rusher. Yeah, how is he going to hold up against the run of the NFL? Is he going to be able to get off the larger tackles if they get their hands on him? I don't know. If you don't win with speed with Dallas Turner, unlike Jared Verse, who's big and strong enough to, like, move the offensive lineman, and then you have somebody like Latu, who has violent hands, who's not going to let the offensive tackle get his hands on him. Dallas Turner, if you watch his tape, is sensational. There is no doubt about it. But right now, he's a one-trick pony. I don't see him playing the run the way the NFL is going to make him play the run. And again, this guy's probably going to be going to the Falcons in the top 10 pick. And I get that because the guy's going to be a double-digit sacker in the NFL. But I don't know how the rest of his game is going to turn in the NFL. Like, I don't know how it's going to work against the run, against the run-heavy teams and against heavier, more athletic linemen that you have in the NFL. Every NFL lineman in the NFL is one of the best players that they've ever played in college. That's just the way this works. And his length is fine, even though he's 6'2", but he has good length. So I'm not worried about that. He is a little, how much weight can he put on and how much speed does he lose? Again, excellent pass rusher. I give him that. I understand why a lot of people have him number one as an edge rusher, but I'm looking at an edge as an overall package, right? I'm looking at what can he do. Can he play three downs? Can he come in and play first, second, third down? Gerard Verse can, Latu can. Dallas Turner, I think, right now, is a one-trick pony. Let's move on to my next pass rusher. This is a guy that's been linked to the Bucs over and over again. I'm going to reveal who I think the Bucs are going to draft on my draft podcast with Joe Bucs Fan. I also have a full mock draft as well as a Buccaneers mock draft. Players that I think I'm going to go round by round and talk about which players are available in that round that I think would entice the Bucs, and then where it's also the deepest in those positions. So I'm a best player available guy as well. I know Lee hates that, but I'm going to tell you that drafting for need, the Bucs have done for, 45 years, and it really hasn't worked out till Jason Light. It worked out a little bit with Rich McKay, but most of the time we reach for these prospects like the fifth best or the sixth best guy when the number one guy's on the board and can be an instant starter from day one. I don't know. There's a lot to be said. I guess I could be swayed either way, but right now my argument is to go for the best player available. Now, there's a lot of people that are down on Chop Robinson because of his college film not getting enough sacks. He's 6'2", 254, shorter arms, but he has some weight on him. He's strong. Fast as a linebacker, 4.48, 4.45, depending on pro day. He only played in 7 games last year, had 4.5 sacks, right? So if you take out, if he had played all 13 games, he'd be around in the 9 sack range, which is pretty good. His unofficial RAS, which is his, basically his athletic score, was 9.68 out of 10, which ranks him, this is important, 53 out of 1,637 defensive ends from 1987 to 2024. So he is almost in the top 50 since the draft began when they started recording this in 1987. He'd been the top 50 pass rushers ever to come through athletically. He has the best first step in the draft. And then when you watch his tape over and over again, he doesn't get to the quarterback with that first step. He beats the tackle. But what I did notice is in the 7 games that he did play, the quarterback gets the ball out really, really fast. And then the kind of offenses that he's running against were really run-first offenses where, Chop would come in and he plays the run extremely well. That's not going to be his problem. And I think that that's what's going to attract Todd Bowles to him is basically the fact that he's an outside linebacker who absolutely dominates against the run and can get to the quarterback with his first step. I feel like his quarterback numbers and his quarterback hurries would be a lot better had he played in the SEC. This is my opinion. I know people are going to say, oh, well, it's Penn State. They play a lot of play. I don't really care about that. I care about the SEC because that's where the majority of the winners come from. And you can call that bias, but I have a lot of data to back that up. The SEC dominates the NFL every single year. Georgia, Alabama, it just doesn't stop. Right? It just keeps on going with those draft picks. Michigan's going to have a good year this year, but that's an anomaly. But Texas A&M, now Texas is moving to the SEC. So you have, the SEC is where it's at. I feel like if he had played there, I think he would have had more sacks just because there's more offenses where there's a 3-step, 2-step drop back, and he would have had more of a chance to get to the quarterback. Listen, I would be happy with the Bucs drafting Chop Robinson. If that's the way they want to go, I'm not going to knock the pick because he is athletically gifted, super fast, plays the run first, which going into his rookie year, pass rushing is always hard for these rookie guys. But playing the run is something they have to get into right away. I'm pretty sure that's why Yaya Diaby didn't see the field when he did, which was what, the 6th, 7th game when he's really started seeing some snaps is when he started figuring out the run fits, and we'll see how that goes. But Chop Robinson right now is my number 4 guy. Number 5 guy is very intriguing. This is another guy that I think that Todd Bowles will like because he likes these heavier guys that can play inside, outside. My problem is these tweeners sometimes don't pan out in the NFL, and I think Logan Hall is one of those guys that showed pass rush ability on the inside and the outside, but he still hasn't found his place in the NFL. And I think that's the problem is, does he add weight? Do you take weight off? Like, which position does he play? Obviously, the Bucs made a decision with Logan Hall to make him play inside and had him gain 20 pounds of weight and try to get him stronger in the trenches. This guy, Darius Robinson, out of Missouri, 6'5", 286. So bigger, stronger guy, heavier guy. Awesome football player. 43 tackles, 8.5 sacks. Forced fumble, has great length. So tackles aren't going to be able to get a hold of him at a distance. He's going to have the same length of arm, so he's going to be able to fight that off. He's very, very strong. Plays with some violence, which I like. Plays with an edge to him. But here's the thing. This guy can play all over the line. He can play in sub packages. He can play edge. He can move inside. He can shed blocks. He's very powerful like Verse. He's very, very, very tough against the run. So, again, is this guy going to be a 10-sack guy, edge rusher? No. Is this guy, can he get 8 sacks, 7 sacks? Yes. And can he play the run exceptionally well? And then can he play next to Kancey? When Vita Vea pops out, can he pop inside? Or can Vea, when Vea pops in, can he pop outside and rush from the edge? This guy gives you a lot of versatility. But again, my only concern about Darius Robinson is finding the right position, and can he play both positions inside and outside in the NFL? But again, that's my number 5 guy. Number 6 coming in is another Alabama guy, Chris Braswell. He's a 3-4 outside linebacker, 6'3", 255, so great size, athletically gifted. Ran a 4.59, had 42 tackles, 8 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, an interception, pass batted. He can drop into pass coverage, which is really interesting for an edge rusher. I think that he's just scratching the surface of what he can do. Chris Braswell is actually, in all of the ADP mocks, is there at 26. Because of the quarterbacks and the wide receivers and the offensive tackles pushing people down, a lot of these defensive players are going to drop. And these guys would normally be top 10, top 15 picks. I think Chris Braswell is a sure top 15 pick in most drafts as an outside rusher. I only get concerned about the fact that he's an Alabama guy. And I always keep going back to how well have these Alabama edge rushers done. Now, obviously, we had the defensive rookie of the year last year was an edge rusher, Will Anderson, who was drafted by the Houston Texans. Now, we talked about him as a pass rusher, and then Dallas Turner was behind him, so he really came into his own this year. But you have Dallas Turner, again, on the lighter side, lightning fast, can't play the run. Chris Braswell's heavier, bigger, has better length, just didn't put up the speed numbers and the edge off the rush that Dallas Turner did. But this guy can play. I'm really... Again, lukewarm on the Alabama players as far as edge. But if Chris Braswell's there and the Bucs like him, based on his athletic profile and his production in Alabama, playing in the SEC, playing against some really good tackles, this guy can play. I wouldn't be mad at it. Now, we're going to get into one of my favorite players. You're going to say, well, Sean, if he's one of your favorite players, why is he 7? Because he has some limitations. But he's a fun, awesome player to watch. And that's Jonah Ellis, the 3-4 linebacker out of Utah, 6'2", 246, ran a 4.79. This is really interesting. So when you're judging how fast a defensive edge is, like a defensive lineman coming off the edge, 3-cone is what most general managers use to determine whether someone, how fast someone is when the ball is hiked. Basically, how fast can he get to the quarterback? How fast can he get to the running back? Can he disrupt the run? Well, Jonah Ellis had the fastest time ever. Now, when I say ever, it means all time. In the history of the NFL, he ran a 6.69 3-cone, which prior to that, Bruce Irvin, the pass rusher from Seattle, from the Sea Chickens, had the fastest time ever as an edge rusher. Jonah Ellis beat it out. He was one of the most dangerous pass rushers last year at Utah. 12 sacks, 37 tackles. Forced fumbles, he had an interception, he produced quarterback pressures consistently to put him in the top 5 in college football. The reason why is he's falling is because they're saying he's a little smaller at the 6'2", 246, and his length isn't as good as, say, Dallas Turner, who was around the similar weight and strength. But Jonah Ellis doesn't have his length. But Jonah Ellis, what he does have is 3 pass rushing moves that are fully effective going in. Jonah Ellis is the most polished pass rusher besides Latu in this draft, right? So if you go into and you watch Jonah Ellis's tape, you're going to be so surprised. He moves inside, outside. They move him around the line, very similar to how Bosa has moved and very similar to Micah Parsons, how they move him up and down the line. Jonah Ellis does that because he is so good with his pass rushing moves. And then we're sitting here talking about the best first step in the draft being Chop Robinson. And Chop Robinson, yes, he had the second best 3-cone at the NFL Combine. But Jonah Ellis happens to have the best ever. I don't know. I really like the guy. I think he's going to be a first-round draft pick. I think that he might move up and get into the bottom half of the first round. I think he's going to be in play when the Bucs draft. And I think if you're going to pick between Chop Robinson and Jonah Ellis and maybe Braswell, that's it, and that's the area that you're going. That's going to be a tough one. because I think there's a lot of football in Jonah Ellis, and I think there's that he shows a lot of promise. My next guy, the reason why I have Marcin Nealand on here out of Western Michigan is because everybody's talking about this guy's a first-round draft pick, that he might sneak into the first round, that he's definitely a second-round guy. He's 6'3", 275, great size. He ran a 4.69 40. He had 4.5 sacks last year on 57 tackles. He did not dominate at Western Michigan. And I'm going to tell you why that's important. I watch this guy, tight hips. He has a bull rush, no other pass rushing moves. I understand that athletically he can jump out of the gym. I saw his RAS score. He was like the second best to Chop Robinson as far as overall athletic ability. I don't see the production with a guy that was healthy. This guy, unlike Chop Robinson, who missed seven games last year, this guy didn't miss. And he had an okay Senior Bowl practice, right? I don't get it with this guy. I feel like they're trying to push this guy up the board for some reason. Like he's that small school guy this year that everybody's excited about. I don't see it. I don't want the Bucs drafting him. If they draft him in the second round, I feel like in the second round, pick 56 in this overall, it's not terrible. I don't see this guy. I saw him mocked to the Detroit Lions at 27 or 28 right after the Bucs pick. And I'm like, in the first round, are you guys kidding me with this guy? Jonah Ellis destroys this guy in every single way. Braswell out of Alabama, you know, Darius Robinson, again, there's other pass rushers. I don't see how this guy's moving up the board. There's guys that I like way better than him. I even like, you know what, I might even change this order right now, but we'll see. Braylon Trice is out of Washington, 6'3", 245, great physicality, good measurements, 49 tackles, 7 sacks, 1 pass batted down. I also think Braylon Trice is a second-round draft pick. I like him. He plays with a big motor. He played in the national championship game. They had an amazing season. I think he falls to the Bucs in the second round or to a team looking for a pass rusher in that second or third round. But this is definitely between Trice and Nealand. I think these are like secondary guys. Like you have like for me, you have it's at Jonah Ellis up is where the top pass rushers are, and then you're starting to get into some guys that are just, you know, see what they are. Like this guy Nealand, again, should have dominated at his competition. Then I'm going to give you a bonus section of pass rushers, right? This section I'm calling undersized pass rushers with amazing talent. The reason why I'm going to this is because there's pass rushers in this draft that the NFL is completely overlooking because of their size, but yet they have amazing production, technique, violent hands. Some of them are small school guys, but I want to go over two that I think I fell in love with them, watching film on them. And I'm like, I understand what the NFL is looking for, and I understand the size and athletic ability of tackles is so different in the NFL than college. Like you have Amazon truck drivers playing left tackle or right tackle or left guard at, I don't know, at Vanderbilt. But yet in the NFL, every single player you go up against is as fast as you, as strong as you, and that's going to be an adjustment. But I'm going to give you two names to keep an eye on that are just, you cannot overlook their production and their motor. Javon Solomon, 3-4 outside linebacker of Troy. He's only 6 foot 247, so his weight's not a problem, but he doesn't have length or height, right? As far as his I mean, you obviously look for arm length when it comes to, and wingspan when it comes to defensive edges, because what you have is offensive tackles. I'll take a second and explain this. What you have is a left tackle or a right tackle, if they have really long arms, they can get you hooked while you're coming around the edge, and they can keep you completely out of the play just because of their length. Well, the problem with somebody like Javon Solomon, according to NFL, is that he's not going to be able to get close enough around those types of tackles to get to the quarterback. I disagree because there's exceptions. It's not an absolute, is it? If you had a guy with okay tape and you had a guy going, okay, let's see where this guy projects, and then he's undersized and he's not as athletic, I understand. When you have a guy that's as productive as Solomon, I don't know how you can ignore this, right? So in 2023 at Troy, he had 17 sacks, 55 tackles, 14 tackles for loss, 3 forced fumbles, 2 interceptions. That was his senior year. Right? The funny thing is, over the last two seasons, he's had 27 sacks. 27. That is dominating. And 50 tackles again. That is dominating your level of competition. This guy deserves to be looked at in the third, fourth round. This is a guy that I think, because I believe the Bucs should double dip at this position. I believe 100% if we draft one in the first round, we should draft one in the third or fourth round. I think you double dip when it comes to pass rushers because that's how bad we need them. This is a guy I would look at with one of my third round picks or my fourth round pick. Just a guy that can come in. He doesn't have to be a three down guy, but he can come in on pass rushing situations and let's see what he can do. But again, if you haven't watched tape on Javon Solomon, it's worth watching. He's unbelievable. His motor never stops. Here's another guy that I alerted Lee to Kemper on. I was like, Lee, you need to take a look at Mo Camara out of Colorado State. 3-4 outside linebacker, 6'1", 248. Another guy that's very undersized for an outside edge rusher. He ran a 4.57 in the 40. I think he was absolutely unbelievable at Colorado State. 13 sacks, 57 tackles, 14 tackles for loss, 2 forced fumbles. In the previous two seasons, 8.5 sacks, 7.5 sacks. So this guy, if you look at it, had 30 sacks as a college football player. The guy just knows how to get to the quarterback. He's one of those guys that can play in like a sub package as a pro and just be a pass rushing specialist. Here's another guy that's third, fourth round, that's undersized, that has tremendous sack numbers. The guy is just one of those guys that gets to the quarterback. The Indianapolis Colts, when Peyton Manning was there, were notorious for drafting these smaller guys, and several of them made the Pro Bowl as outside pass rushers. It's been unbelievable. But between Javon Solomon and Mo Camara, you have guys, humongous production. I don't care what their size is. Give me football players. These guys are football players. Draft them in the right position. Get them on your team. Get somebody like Chop Robinson and Mo Camara on your team. And now you're cooking with grease. You got guys out there that know how to get to the quarterback. And I think you're going to see that. But that concludes my pass rushing special. I'm under 30 minutes, Steve. So that's great. So I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you understand that how important this position is in the NFL. That's why I gave it its own podcast. Please follow me at Bill Curry Ford. So email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com with all your questions. I've been getting a lot of emails during the draft season, so I love that. I hope I answered those guys. Then follow me as the general manager of Bill Curry Ford at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X, all of those social media things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Visit us at BillCurryFord.com for all the amazing specials to set up your mobile service appointment to your home or for your loaner vehicles for your service department. Please, we have an online scheduling system that works extremely easy on your mobile, as well as the number one Ford dealership, the largest service drive in the world. Please come and see the giant 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. I will see you guys next time. We're going to be talking about defensive backs and safeties.